Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. I'll first begin just by introducing everyone who'll be speaking on this presentation. I said I'm Jerry Johnson with New York State Department of Health. On the slide, we actually have Sean Granis listed from Regan Streef Institute. Unfortunately, Sean is not able to join us, but Brian Dixon will speak in his place. And Dr. Brian Karras from Washington State Department of Health is here, and he will be presenting as well. I just have to figure out how to advance this. Okay. I want to start off just by saying it was, as I was preparing for this presentation, I was actually faced with how do I talk about notifiable disease surveillance, automated surveillance and case reporting, and HIEs and public health. And I thought I could stand here for probably the rest of the afternoon talking about each of those topics. So as I said, I thought at this point, as I looked at the presentation list for this session and also for this conference, I realized that this presentation can be really, I think, a springboard into this afternoon and the rest of the conference. So I think we'll actually cover a number of different, an overview of these different topics. And then I said we can open it up for some discussion and actually some food for thought as you hear future presentations. So our main objective for this presentation is really to describe the current efforts to support notifiable disease surveillance through electronic health information exchange, and then review the current and planned activities to assess the use of health information exchanges, or HIEs, to conduct notifiable disease surveillance. So first, for notifiable disease surveillance, I think as we heard earlier this morning, there's over 70 nationally notifiable conditions. That's in addition to any local reportable diseases. Some of these diseases that are nationally notifiable are high volume, such as novel influenza. Some have complex case definitions, such as Q fever. And very often, a lot of these diseases are both high volume and complex, as with hepatitis. The other thing we'll cover today is the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Accelerating Statewide Public Health Situational Awareness through Health Information Exchanges Projects. And then we'll also talk about how our projects and the National Electronic Disease Surveillance System, NEGSD, is actually collaborating to look at doing notifiable disease surveillance, automating that process. So to add about notifiable disease surveillance, as I think most of us in this audience know, underreporting, there's definitely underreporting by medical providers. Most of the reporting actually originates from clinical laboratories, very often missing demographic and clinical information. And as I mentioned before, nationally notifiable diseases and jurisdiction-specific diseases can be high volume and also have complex case definitions. In 2007, there was a collaborative work group that was formed. It was a case report standardization work group, and the members included staff from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the Council for State and Territorial Epidemiologists, and local and state health departments. And the focus really was public health case reporting and identifying core and disease-specific data elements. The scope of the work group was to really look at hospital and provider reporting to local and state public health. And the main focus were actually four diseases: anthrax, tularemia, tuberculosis, and hepatitis B. One of the outcomes of this work group was producing a CDA, or clinical document architecture, for public health case reports. And I guess this was just an example that I included here for hepatitis B, just an example of a high report volume disease and a complex surveillance case definition. Just to give you some ideas is that there's approximately 1.25 million people who are chronically infected with hepatitis B, and approximately 73,000 new infections of hepatitis B each year in the United States. And just an example in terms of workload for public health, in New York State, in over a one-year time period, approximately there are 8,000 unique patients with at least one positive hepatitis B laboratory result. And I think this really hit home when I was listening to the plenary session this morning from Dr. Seth Foldy when he was talking about, you know, very often public health is responding to crises, but there's also a lot of high volume disease and heavy workload for a lot of the other critical core public health functions. So continuing with viral hepatitis, I included this slide. I'm not going into details on this slide. This is actually will be something to pique your attention for a presentation later in the conference where we actually talk about a New York State Department of Health integrated communicable disease reporting system. But a couple of things that I thought was interesting here. We'll go into a lot of detail about integrating systems within public health. However, we're finding that there's still a disconnect between integrating healthcare, electronic healthcare systems, and public health. So outside of the scope of the meat of this particular slide, we see that that this all starts with provider reports, either directly from a provider or from an infection control practitioner. In New York, we've been able to assist with electronically collecting some of this information, but it's still a manual process. Either it has to be data entered, or it's a telephone report, or it's a or if it's a paper report. So I think this is where we really want to focus our efforts, especially with the Health Information Exchange Project. In addition, we have another portion here where local health departments report to our statewide case electronic report system. We may be able to get electronic data that comes in to pre-populate these case reports, but there's still missing information that requires human intervention. I think there was a session earlier this morning where a local health department in Utah had identified that over a one-week time period, I think over 32% of the reports that came in required still additional follow-up. So out of 380 reports, 99 telephone calls had to be made. So I think there's still a lot of places where we can fill in the gaps with the electronic connectivity. And I think those are some of the things that we're focusing on with our Health Information Exchange projects and with NEDS. So how can emerging information technology support public health epidemiology, both in a crisis as with H1N1, and then also with some of our day-to-day high volume, heavy workload with surveillance case reporting. I'm going to transition now into our CDC Health Information Exchange projects. And that's where I'll talk a little bit about the project as a whole, about New York State's project, and then our other two presenters will talk about the other state, both Washington and Indiana's efforts. I first want to open this up by saying that I think these projects are more than just about exchanging data. I think it's really about an exchange of ideas among all the team members. We have unbelievable people that are parts of this project. We have public health. We have technical expertise. We have research expertise. And it really is where we challenge each other to really start thinking about how can we really identify the activities and the infrastructure that will support public health and ultimately help us to respond and protect the health of the citizens. As far as the first year and part of the second year of our Health Information Exchange Project. So this is a project that was funded by three awardees. I'll go back a little bit, both in Washington, in Indiana, and in New York State. And New York State project is a combination of New York State and New York City Department of Health. The first year, we actually implemented the biosurveillance use case. We conducted an MDS availability assessment in the emergency department, inpatient and outpatient settings. We developed and applied an influenza-like illness, and pneumonia. That's actually a filter, not a filtee, with a comma at the end. And we processed and exchanged data with public health at a local, regional, state, and federal level. And I just included a map from each of our sites just to show where we've actually tapped into health information exchange and actually had public health connecting into clinical care data. Just a little bit about the New York State, New York City project. Our project is, and actually I'll tell you that the second presentation that I'm doing will go into more details about the New York projects. We'll just mention this briefly. So this will be a little teaser to have you sit there for the second presentation. Our project is really focusing on developing a public health service bus and universal public health node for the data exchange, building in functionality for an analytic query. To actually be able to count patients that meet certain criteria, developing a line list of patients meeting certain criteria, and then also being able to query for specific patient details. We're also developing a data certification project. Not only is it a matter of getting data, but also being sure about the quality of the data that you get. There's a presentation later on in the week that will talk about our New York State Health Department Communicable Disease Electronic Reporting System. And then also we're working with New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene and exploring case reporting through EMRs, electronic medical records. So with that, I will take my leave and I will turn this over to Bryant Karas.
Hi, everybody. Bryant Karas, Washington State Department of Health, Informatics Office, which is, and my post is at the Public Health Lab in Shoreline, just north of Seattle, not in Olympia. But I'm talking today just on these two quick slides to give you some sense of what why we're excited about receiving this data from a health information exchange, as well as what we're going to do with it to support the local local public health jurisdictions, get them access to the information. This is a partnership project with the University of Washington Center for Public Health Informatics and SAIC, who's a technical resource, and Inland Northwest Health Services, which is our largest health information exchange and probably one of the longest running health information exchanges in the U.S. What we do with it in Washington is the syndromic surveillance components of what we're getting from the system go into our FEEDS project, which is currently utilizes Distribute, which you saw in slides this morning. We're one of the Distribute partner states, as well as we use Essence to be able to drill down into the line listing data, as opposed to Distribute, which is at the aggregate level. The bread and butter of electronic case reporting is our ELR system, which we belovingly call FRED. We use a lot of PH acronyms, the FRED system will take any reportable conditions that are detected in the health information exchange and relay those in an automated way to the local health departments. One of the things that's exciting about the involvement in this project is that we're, because of it, connecting FRED to a health information exchange as opposed to one hospital at a time, by doing this, we'll get 10 hospitals at once. And these are hospitals that have, are competing systems. They each have their own security officer, and that's, 10 data sharing agreements that had to be worked out at the health information exchange level, not at the public health level. And as all of you know, it's the person connections take a lot more time than the technical connections. So this was wonderful one-stop shopping for us. The next thing that's listed here, FIMS, the next PH acronym, is what the local health jurisdictions use to enter data in about the confirmed cases. So they got their laboratory reports through FRED. They then conduct investigation and figure out if this is a confirmed case and enter in the information through this web-based system, which is our NEDS-based system equivalent in Washington State. We're currently working on a project to automate the connection between FRED and FIMS so that the local health jurisdictions will be able to push all the information that they receive through the FRED system into FIMS. And I think, as Jerry mentioned, the complexity of some of these conditions, we're looking forward to the richness of the data, since it's coming through an HIE as opposed to a regional lab or a local hospital lab. They'll be able to tease out some of the nuances to differentiate between acute hepatitis and chronic hepatitis by being able to bring along the supplemental labs that aren't necessarily reportable on their own. Health information exchange data, this slide points out that one of the early observations is that the syndromic surveillance data, especially in light of the H1N1 outbreak, was critical in terms of identifying the situational awareness, how many cases are we dealing with, where are these cases occurring, and especially compared to what was previously the gold standard for identifying influenza-like illness, the ILI net of sentinel providers, our CD epidemiologists found this to be much more robust, much more reliable than the existing capability or the existing surveillance. We've instituted an emergency rule to make H1N1 flu reportable for any hospitalized cases and any fatal cases. And the nuance there is that most of your labs don't know or don't provide in the ELR message where the patient is. And by getting this data from a health information exchange as opposed to just a raw lab result feed, we can actually implement this rule, which says that the only ones that are reportable are those that are hospitalized or fatal. We have to figure out how to tease that one out, but we're counting on our providers to let us know when somebody dies from the disease with a phone call. But teasing out these nuances of disposition, I think, will be really critical. So next, Brian Dixon's going to talk about Indiana.
So I'm not Sean. However, I have been told that if I stand like this, I look like him. So if you want, I could just turn around when I give the talk, if you want to pretend I'm Sean. But no, I'm a project manager at Regan Sweep Institute, and I work on our situational awareness contract from the CDC. So what I want to talk about, and what I think Sean would have talked about, would be the value to build off what Bryant and Jerry both said, which is how can HIEs provide value to public health? And one of the ways that we can do that, as they've mentioned, is we can add stuff to the data that comes in from the ELR, from the lab system, or from a hospital system, or from a physician practice. And we can standardize it and normalize it in different ways. And so I'm going to talk about sort of the how, because they've sort of presented the value proposition, if you will. So what we do in Indiana is we have what we call the notifiable condition detector. And this is a module that is part of our overall pipeline for moving data in and out of the HIE. And what this module does is as inbound messages come in from the lab or from the hospital, what we do is we pass them to the notifiable condition detector and say, is this a message you care about? And if it says yes, then it takes the message and it analyzes it. And it sort of says, is this potentially reportable? Is its main job? And then if it says yes, then we sort of count it. And then we move it onto the pipeline where we flag it as a reportable condition. And we note things like the abnormal flag, the organism name in Dwyer 2 or notifiable condition table. So we siphon off things, we map things to LOINC so that everything is standards based, even if it comes into us and it's in a local lab code or a local lab system ID. And then we push it into a repository, and that repository then is shared both with public health in terms of the Marion County Health Department in central Indiana or Marion County where Indianapolis, where we're based. And we also share the data with the Indiana State Department of Health. So they both have access to the notifiable conditions essentially at the same time that we do once we push it to them. And then we also put together a daily email summary that is aggregate counts so that public health workers can see aggregate counts without us pushing around, you know, identifiable information in the email. So they can quickly see what's going on in the community, but then they also have access, through secure channels to the reportable results that we push to them. And those reportable results contain the information from the lab system, but then from the HIE, we can get the patient's address, address, and we can get the doctor's address, because we maintain a list of all the providers in our community and where their offices are at, even if they just moved last week. Maybe not that soon, but as soon as we know about it, it's in our doctor file, and that gets pushed out so that public health has a complete report of the doctor's contact information, the patient's contact information, and of course all the information on the organism and the data that came from the lab, or what the lab tech noted. We can also push this information then to infection control inside of our hospitals, because our infection control practitioners have access to the Indiana Network for Patient Care, which the EDs and other physicians access routinely for the HIE clinical data. Well, now infection control practitioners can also access that information, so they can see what information is being sent to public health, and they can be notified. And then we can also just print reports. Some people like things to still be on paper. Paper's not bad. So we can also print things. So all of the pipeline comes in and then can be pushed out in multiple ways. And that's really what the Indiana Network for Patient Care is about. It's about sort of meeting our stakeholders' needs. Wherever they're at in their IT sophistication, we try to meet that need and provide them some sort of service. And we can provide public health service at the same time we're serving the medical community. And so that's my main message, and now I'd like to turn things back over to Jerry. Thanks.
Well, fast forward, and we'll just wrap up on a couple of things that I think a couple of take-home messages on our on the presentation is, and I said this slide was actually a Sean slide. I don't think I look like Sean either from the front or the back, so I won't spin around like Brian did. But I think Sean really hit home on a couple of his points. Really, it's looking at the clinical care processes as far as underreporting to public health. Reporters are overburdened, under-resourced. Finding out reporters lack knowledge or willingness. Very often we actually have people who, physicians who join the health department say, was I supposed to really report that? Clinical data scattered across disparate settings in different non-standard formats. I think it's really looking at, and I think this is a lot of what the HIE project is about, is leveraging or reusing existing clinical data flows to actually, not necessarily, a lot of times with public health, it can be a little frightening to think about replacing or automating entire systems, but really augmenting it and supplementing that and really just providing support for that, for public health reporting. And then minimize the need for human intervention in the reporting process. So as best as we can with clinical data that's out there or other data that's electronically available is to actually get that data. And I think that can help improve the case reporting. I guess some of the things moving forward with collaborating with NEDS is that, as I mentioned, a lot of the work that happened was they identified electronic case reporting data set, both core elements that are common to all diseases and then disease-specific elements. So I think that's a key thing. We did an MDS availability assessment. There's overlap between the MDS availability and also for notifiable disease reporting, but there's also other data elements. So we've already gone through our process of assessing data availability, and I think we can tackle this as well as looking at data necessary for case reporting. And once again, we have access to ED and patient-outpatient settings. I think the other piece as well is looking at local, state, and federal public health information system applications and program needs. And I said I think that's a common theme that we've heard this morning is looking at having the informatics and also the sort of the public health use really work together. And included in that is looking at data validation of wanting to get data timely but also quality data, and then integrating that information into either new public health workflows or existing electronic public health information systems. And I think the other thing we're also hearing about a lot of different information exchange standards that may be out there. I think that's also going to be another area for discovery. And just for any handouts afterwards, I know you can't read this, but these are just some of the references as far as automated notifiable disease reporting. So with that, I guess I'll then open it up to questions.